ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Is that good, Mark? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whosoever cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Over to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 20. And look at verse number 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What's on my mind this evening, and I'll only be a few moments if you'll bear with me. I don't know the audience intimately, in that I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what your thoughts are about what you've already heard the gospel very plainly about the Lord Jesus and about salvation, about the need of a Savior, and about the only way to heaven. But I remember before I was saved, I remember I was sitting in a gospel meeting, and I remember there was one word if you wanted to describe my state, there was one word that you could have put over me. Frustrated. I was frustrated. I don't know who here wants to be saved, and who wanting to be saved is frustrated. The natural response, if we were to go back to the front of our Bibles, in the very beginning of time, and the first man and woman that walked on this planet, and they had a relationship with God, and they were able to commune with God, they were able to speak with him freely. There was no sin, there was no death. It was wonderful. It wasn't as good as it's going to be. The home that Paul's been talking about, that home is going to far exceed what Adam ever had. It's far going to exceed what experience Adam ever had with his relationship with God. But they disobeyed God, they sinned against God, and death came in and broke that relationship. And there was an offer that was made, the enemy of souls, the tempter came in, and he tried to get them off course. God had told them, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat from it, you will certainly die. We say that sometimes ourselves. These things are certain. I am certain. I said this the other day, and I had to laugh at myself. I'm probably sure. I'm probably sure. Well, those two things don't go together. You can't be probably sure. But we say things sometimes with certainty, and they're not correct. But here's the God of heaven, as you've already heard, a God who cannot lie. And this God said, you will surely die. It's the definite and guaranteed outcome if you disobey, if you go, if you partake from the fruit from that tree. And they went, and what did they do? The woman took from the tree, and she looked at the fruit, and it looked appealing. It looked like it was something that she wanted. It looked like something that was so good that God had been holding back from her, and she ate. And she took that and she gave to her husband. Her husband was with her. And Adam, he took that fruit and he ate that fruit as well. And immediately when that was broken, they were ashamed because of their nakedness. They were ashamed of who they were. They were ashamed before a holy God. They tried to hide themselves. And what was their natural response? When God came looking, God said, "Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Just tell me where you're at." That's what God is looking for tonight. God is looking for someone to be honest with him. He's looking for an honest heart. Can you answer God honestly tonight? Where are you? Where do you stand before a holy God? With the knowledge of what you have before you, with the scriptures in front of you, an awareness that the Lord Jesus has died on the cross, with an awareness of a real place called heaven and a real place called hell, a real judgment for sin. Where are you tonight? God came looking. "Adam, where are you? Just tell me where you're at. Just be honest with me, Adam." And Adam was hiding himself. "And Adam, what is it that you've done? What are the things that you're guilty of, Adam?" And Adam says, "God, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit. If you hadn't given her to me, God, I wouldn't have done that." And right in the natural heart of man, a man that has fallen, man that is sinful, our hearts are separated from God, at enmity, enemies of God. And the natural response for someone who is lost, a sinful heart, is to be frustrated by God. That is natural. And sometimes what happens, I don't want anybody to be scared about that. Because that is where a sinful heart leads to. The natural heart, the sinful heart, it's going to do something when confronted with the reality of the gospel and the truth about a God who has to judge sin. And the natural response, even after hearing about a God who loves you, the natural response is to recede into the darkness. It's a comfortable place. It's familiar to us. We talked about the long homes. Right now, this is the only home that you know. This is it. And regardless of what your home is and regardless of what other people come into your home, and when other people come into your home, they might go, "Yuck." It might look very unappealing. But for you, when you get there and you've been out and you've been working for the day or you've been away for a while and you come back to that place, other people look at it and they maybe walk by and they look at it with disdain. But when you come into that place, there's a sense of comfort. And maybe you're like me and sometimes you don't clean as often as you should. And maybe there's a little bit more dirt and mess in that home than there should be. But when I come home, there's a sense of place. It's a home. I feel comfortable there. And maybe the dishes are dirty. And maybe the clothes are a mess. But it's my home. I'm comfortable there. And we are comfortable in our sin. And when we get challenged and when we think about God, the heart responds. It likes the darkness and it's naturally frustrated against God. But don't allow that to turn you away. Don't allow that to cause you to shrink back away from God. Be honest with God tonight. Where are you? Where do you stand? When God looks at you, what does he see? You see, this is the God that we have presented to you already in the gospel. And this is what I want for those that are frustrated. I don't know why you're frustrated. I remember, again, you'll excuse my personal reference, I remember sitting in the gospel meeting and hearing the preacher speak about the gospel and how easy it is, how simple it was to be saved. You just enter through the door. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And it's just so easy. All that we need to do is believe. And the Lord Jesus has done all the work. And all that I need to do is believe. And it was frustrating. And I remember sitting, and it was in a seat right there in the Charlottetown Gospel Hall, just on this side, two or three rows back. And I remember looking at the preacher, and I was so angry because I knew myself. I wasn't all that dumb. I'm not a genius, but I wasn't all that dumb. I understood what the gospel message was. I understood that my heart had sinned. I understood that Jesus died on the cross. I understood from the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God. I understood that God had to judge sin. I knew those things. They were in the Bible. I couldn't figure out how to be saved. And if you had have asked me, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I would have said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you saved? No. Do you believe that there's a place called heaven? I believe that there's a place called heaven. I believe that the people that are going to heaven are people that have been saved here in time. And that after death, we don't have an opportunity to get saved. And that's why there's urgency and we need to be saved in time. Are you saved? No. No, I'm not saved. Do you believe that there's a real place called hell? Do you believe that the people who have sins are going to be there and be punished for their sins? Yes, I believe that. Are you saved? No. Do you believe that there's going to be an eternal separation from God because of sin? If those sins aren't dealt with, if those sins aren't forgiven, if those sins aren't removed from your record, do you believe that there's going to be judgment for sin? Yes, I believe that. Are you saved? No, I'm not. Do you believe that the Son of God was always with God and that he came down and he took flesh and he became a man? And one of the reasons that he became a man was to demonstrate to this world who God really is and to show what the perfect life actually looks like and to leave an example for people of how we are supposed to live. And it really showed how far we fall short. And he took a body because the body was prepared for death. And he had to go to a cross. And because man had sinned, man had to be punished. And man had to die. And so he had to take our place as man on the cross. And when he was crucified, when he was on that cross, it wasn't just mankind that had hammered him there. It wasn't just mankind that had abused him. But God actually took sin and put sin on the Lord Jesus, and he was judged for sin. Do you believe that? And sitting there, I would have said, yes, I believe that. Are you saved? No. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was frustrated. Do you believe that we're saved by grace? Yes, I don't doubt that the only way that God would ever reach out is because of my sin. The only way that he would be able to reach out to me would be by grace. There's nothing in me that deserves to be saved. There's nothing in me that deserves favor with God. Are you saved? No. Is anybody frustrated with God? I believe all these things. I know all this information. I remember calling the preacher over and thinking, I know this book. I know this message. And I can't find anything. And certainly, a preacher is going to be able to come to me and he's going to be able to open the scriptures and he is going to be able to show me something that I have never heard. Some message that's going to have maybe had pages stuck together and it's going to suddenly appear and I'm going to see this magic message that I've never heard, something new, something different. He showed me the scriptures. He showed me the gospel. It was the same message. Nothing different. John 3:16. And when he left, I was frustrated. I was angry. I was missing something very important. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I believed in creation. I had actually argued with people who believed in evolution. and I had used Scripture to prove my points. And I believed that we came into being by the power of the Word of God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God and equal with the Father. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Did you see what we read here? These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. This is what we're to believe. We are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And here's something else that we are required to believe, that believing ye have life through His name. You understand that? Do you believe that the salvation of your soul resides entirely on what Christ has done? And that the only way that you can come into salvation is not only to believe all the facts of the Bible about who God is and what He has done, but to accept the fact that your salvation will come the moment that you believe in Him. That's how easy salvation is. That's why I was missing out, because I thought it was about believing all of the facts, but I didn't actually believe that God would save me if I simply called out to His name, "Lord, save me." I didn't believe He would save me if I just trusted Him. I was missing it. I had all the facts. What a wonderful moment when the Lord was able to show me. That's why He died. He died so that I don't have to. And I just took Him. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. There is life in the Lord Jesus. For anyone here tonight who wants to be saved, you believe in God. Do you believe that He is a rewarder of anyone who diligently seeks Him? Anyone who comes to Him, regardless of your past, regardless of your future outlook on life, anyone who comes to God and believes that He is and that He is a rewarder, He will give you salvation if you come to Him in faith. We'll pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that He has opened up a way that no one else could have. His death secured something that nothing else could have. His suffering was so immense. Sometimes we like to think about it, and when we do, we realize how little we really understand about what He went through. But we are thankful that He did it. We are thankful that the Scriptures tell us that He did it. We're thankful that the Scriptures tell us that it is finished, it's enough. We're thankful that the Scriptures tell us that Thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek Thee. We're thankful the terms of salvation have been made so basic that even the child can understand. Our Father, help our hearts to be honest before Thee this evening. We ask even in help in the closing hymn as we do so, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.